Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Thursday, April 8th. The time is 10:04 a.m., and we are here on studio as the Masters officially tees off today. Yep, that is some of the biggest news going on in the sports world, but do not be mistaken. There is a ton of things going on right now that you got to know about today, and that's our job. We're gonna be here for the next 2 hours. Bringing you all the best and latest news information there is. That's right. This is what we do here. This is what we do. My name is Rick Butler. Joined to my left, that is Brandon Orrick.
You have to do it soft like Jim Nance. Do it. You can do it.
Good morning, friends. Welcome back to Augusta. Live at the Masters. I'm not good at the impression.
No, you did. You did a good job. It's just soft and slow. You can't hear. Put on your headphones. We can't help you there.
You need to go a little softer.
Hello, friends.
That was good. That was good. Great start, Brandon. Can you continue?
All right, we're going around the table to see who can get out their best hello, friends today. Brandon,
I've got no snare in my headset. All right, there we go. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Blitz. Stellar Thursday morning. Little rain outside. Well, we've got you on this jam-packed Thursday full of sports information. Right here on Fan Run Radio.
When the sun rose this Easter morning, there was tranquility in Augusta. A gentle preamble that also suggested something improbable. This is Augusta. Your turn. Oh, you blew
it. Come on, Charlie, keep it rolling.
You blew it. The song's over now. The bumper's over now. You blew
it. Between the two of you, well done.
I just choked. I couldn't follow that up.
That was outstanding. That is hard to follow. Even I'm sitting over here like, oh my God, I got to now think about what I'm going to say. There's a high standard that has been set. Very well done.
Like the tranquility. I couldn't do it anymore.
Well, it's always.
I forgot what words existed.
That's one of his running things when it's, no.
He's
got to hit the Jim Nance.
This is a borderline lullaby that you guys had going there.
Brandon's was good. That was the most comforted I've ever felt in my life when Brandon was speaking.
You're welcome.
Oh, Jim. Hey, Jim. Easy now. Easy, Jim Nance. Easy.
The next 2 hours are just going to be trying to contain the Jim Nance from trying to break out into the scene. Hey, it's a fun day today. You guys excited about the Masters?
Oh, yeah. Super excited.
I know that yesterday
that'll wake you up.
Yeah, it will.
That was loud.
I know that about yesterday, maybe 11:45 last night, I finally realized there was still one bracket challenge, or not bracket challenge, that is a thing of the past. There's still one leaderboard pool or so, if you will, that I had to sign up. So I hopefully everyone's got their picks in. Hopefully everyone did what they need to do. Remember, there's great bets out there with FanDuel in case you want to go make a little bit of money that way. But I cannot wait for the next 4 days.
It's going to be a fun one, I hope.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, we love it. Like, Masters, we've all talked about it. I mean, it's one of the the greater times of the year, man. We get to the slow point of sports season, going into silly season, but still getting the Masters to, you know, kind of kick it off.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that is obviously going to be a big topic of conversation today. We'll talk a little bit about maybe what our expectations are, maybe a little bit of predictions, if you will, and some of our picks. But aside from that, we got a bunch of stuff to get into today that you are not going to want to miss at all. Starting with the Tennessee side of things, guys, literally in like the last minute of the show yesterday, which we always say this is true, but yesterday was especially true, with like 30 seconds remaining in the show, Tennessee lands another commitment in basketball. A three-star player, according to Rivals, named Quentin DeBoungy.
Is that correct? I have no idea.
No.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
No. That is my best attempt.
All right, well, we'll roll with that. I was just going to call him Q.
I'm going to see if I can find a pronunciation guide.
Okay, perfect. But that's what I'm going with for now. But we can say Quentin. You can get it that way. But another Frenchman, as he hails from France, very similar to our own Yves Pons, who just recently left the team. But that was a big pickup yesterday, as you add a little bit to the additions for next year's basketball roster.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of talk about this guy, about Tennessee potentially landing him. So, and like Charlie had that news right before we went off the air yesterday. So,
yeah, and you know it's an interesting case on 247, not yet ranked in terms of the star rankings. Again, we told you about on Rivals, he's a 3-star, but one of the more lesser known products, because obviously, when you look back at what the world has been going through the last year or so, look, if you're an international player, it's harder to get your name out there a little bit more. In times when he would be going to American basketball camps, or you'd have scouts that would be traveling to certain places, we know that Tennessee has French national connections, right, in terms of the basketball game. So all of those things are just a little bit harder to get the ball rolling on when you do have a global pandemic to deal with. Right, so for a guy like Quentin, it's a little bit harder to get his image out there, to get his play out there. But either way, Tennessee still is able to find him and add him to the roster, a 6'6 guard, to add with your 6'6 guard and Justin Powell that you just got as well recently.
Yeah, and like I said yesterday, this Tennessee basketball team is going to have a completely different look and a completely different feel next year from this year. And I think it's Charlie that said it yesterday. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
No.
I think it's people should really give Barnes some type of praise. I mean, like, he's revamping the whole roster. And, you know, he like we said the other day, like, yeah, these guys transferred. Probably told him, like, hey, it's probably better if you transfer to open up these roster spots is what he's thinking. And they weren't going to get a lot of minutes. So, like, yeah, you fill one roster spot. And maybe there's, what, three more left? Maybe four more? If Corey Walker stays, there's three. Mm-hmm. But if he were to leave, then you got potentially four more spots open.
Yeah, right now it's interesting because you look at a total number of 12 roster moves, or at least moves to the Tennessee department, just in the last, what would this be? I believe it would be 19 days since the Tennessee basketball offseason started. So you've had 12 program changes in about 19 days into the offseason. Certainly things have been rolling quickly and news has been coming out lightning quick. So we will also give you a little bit of a recap today about all the departures, all the arrivals that Tennessee is going to expect to happen this offseason. Tell you a little bit about what this basketball team is going to look like. But aside from that, let's see. We told you yesterday about how one of the things we wanted to get into today was a little SEC spring football. And this has been a national conversation to a degree, or at least I should say national in terms of conference-wide national. You know, but there's been a lot of conversation lately about the spring game in college football, right? What is it? What is the purpose of it? Can it be changed? Can it be evolved? Can it be maneuvered? Can it be at least altered in any kind of way to make it a little bit better, or maybe at least a little bit more productive? Brandon, have you heard any of these ideas that have just been floating around about the spring? I know, I know, because trust me, I'm still trying to convince you to go to the one on later this month. But you don't, you seem like you've done the whole spring game thing a couple times, especially as a fan perspective. Have you seen any of these other proposals or ideas that have, I don't know, piqued your interest a little bit?
Yeah, I have. Some of these, playing either, I think it would be cool, like if, if the SEC and, I don't know, maybe the Pac-12 or, because I feel like there's not many SEC Pac-12 games. If they kind of did something in football for the spring like the Big 12 and SEC does for basketball and just kind of have a cross match every team up, mm-hmm. And play that way. Or if you just played like smaller regional teams and played an actual game, I think it'd be better than what you have now. But that's just my opinion.
Well, I'm with you there. I think that is one of the – so that's one of the four main categories that I'm going to potentially – or present to you guys as a potential option for what Tennessee could do with their spring game. And this can be a hypothetical, but, hey, I think there's a lot of hypotheticals going on around this right now, and I find it interesting to see what people are saying on Twitter, on social media. But your four categories for the spring game would be either A, some kind of game format, Brandon, like what you had just mentioned right there, where you are playing a different university in its entirety. Option B would be doing what Texas A&M has reportedly come out and they're doing this spring, which is a schoolyard pick 'em, 7-on-7, just kind of spring scrimmage, pickup style game. Right? But again, with the team captains and everything like that, it's up to the coaches to figure out what to work with once the players decide themselves on the team. Your third option is as is right now. And then your fourth option is fill in the blank with your with maybe some other idea that you have on your own. So I'll give you a little bit of time to think about that. That'll be a conversation we have later in the day to just get a little of this football news out. But then one more big thing to preview a little bit. Coming up in 45 minutes. So right here at the top of hour number two, it's a big day, gentlemen. We are going to have an incredible interview right here on the Blitz that you are not going to want to miss whatsoever. Today is Thursday, April 8th. In 2 days, on April 10th, at night one of WrestleMania, Knoxville's own Bianca Belair will be challenging for the women's championship. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Brandon, a Knoxville native could be crowned a champion. It doesn't happen often.
It's big stuff.
We're going to celebrate this championship like it's a Tennessee one. Look, I'm trying to celebrate anything nowadays. Right? The pandemic has really taught me sometimes sports can come and go. I don't have championships either way. Got to celebrate anyone that comes in my path.
Anything you can.
Anything I can. Need a little bit of happiness. But either way, so Bianca Belair, Knoxville zone, a former track star at the University of Tennessee, turned WWE superstar, will be joining us live on our airwaves just 2 days before she competes for the SmackDown Women's Championship at WrestleMania today at 11 o'clock to start out the second hour of the show.
Nice.
Pretty good. Now,
Very excited.
I got to say this, though. As appreciative as I am of Bianca Belair joining us here on the Blitz today, 2 days before WrestleMania, as cool as I think that is, as much as I am freaking out on the inside because I'm just a fan of WWE, I got to think, what is she doing talking to us 2 days before the biggest match of her life?
Yeah.
I mean, goodness gracious. It's not like, I'm a little worried that we might present some kind of weird distraction if I was going for any kind of championship in any kind of major, major scenario. I'm not sure that this is the place, This is the one place I want to spend my last few moments getting ready for that thing.
I got 2 days. 2 days.
Yeah, but for something like that, I mean, I can't even imagine that. Being 2 days away. Like if you're just sitting wherever you are right now and being like, all right, here it is. In 2 days. Going maybe for the belt. The championship belt at the biggest event in the history of the sport.
Maybe she's hoping that Brandon will just
do his Jim Nance voice, and it'll really put her in a good mental state for the match.
I'll turn the entire interview over to you if you can do the whole thing in a Jim Nance voice.
Hello, Bianca. Good afternoon, friends.
I don't think I can do it. I couldn't.
Nah, we'd all laugh. We would all laugh.
Now, I will say this, Chance. I don't know really what to do about this here, but
okay.
And this is going to be an issue, right? Because I've already decided that I'm going to tell her that the city of Knoxville is going to be in her corner, because I believe it is, except for Brandon Orrick. Brandon told me yesterday that he doesn't think he's going to be cheering for her. He thinks he's going to be cheering for her opponent. How are we supposed to?
But that's so she wins, though.
Yeah. We decided that he should do that so they would that she would win.
I don't think that's true. I think there's something deeper to it besides just the whole t-shirt winning scenario we have happening here.
Maybe he's jealous because he wanted to be the next WWE superstar from Knoxville.
Maybe he's mad because he's not the EST.
You got some explaining to do in the next 45 minutes. We're going to get this out there because we cannot have this interview happen with you cheering for the opponent.
Why?
I feel like that's
I can do whatever I want.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
This is America.
Okay.
We need to show her, Brandon, that we are supportive so that we can have this happen more often in the future. She's gonna think about this radio station. She's gonna think about this radio show right here. She's gonna be like, well, there was that one guy from my home city of Knoxville. I went to Austin East, but there was this one guy who was a hater. And I believe his name was Brandon Orrick.
I'm not a hater.
I didn't say it.
You did.
Interview at 11 o'clock. You're not going to want to miss it. 48 hours away from WrestleMania. We're talking with Bianca Belair. But on the other side, we're talking a little Tennessee basketball. Don't go anywhere.
Ten twenty-three. Back on the Blitz. Live in the Fan Run Radio studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Baseball is back. Charlie, are your Nationals still undefeated?
No. They lost twice
yesterday
in a doubleheader.
Wow.
If we didn't have COVID, it would be a completely different story.
But baseball is back. There's nothing like watching a game with great weather, a cold beverage, and a little action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never bet on baseball before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel is letting new users swing for the fences risk-free. You'll get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. And once you have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day if your same game parlay bet falls one leg short. This way you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger payout all season long. $25 back every single day. There's a reason FanDuel is America's number one sports book. The app is simple and easy to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets. Unique and fun bet types like the same game parlay, and always on promotions to let you get more action out of every single game. And when you win, FanDuel pays you in as little as 24 hours. I've been telling you about them for months now. They pay out so fast, because it's the right thing to do. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code Blitz to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Blitz. Must be 21 years or older. Present Tennessee. First online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
All right, there you go. Go make yourself a little bit of money now that baseball is back. I know I've certainly enjoyed being able to just kind of relax in the midday a little bit, maybe in case work slows down or something, and having baseball on. That tells me that spring is on the way. It tells me summer's on the way. It always helps me get in a little bit of a better mood. And I really am in a good mood when I can make a little bit of money on FanDuel with that game. But guys, back to some of the Tennessee news a little bit. As yesterday, right when we went off air, Tennessee basketball picked up another commitment in the 2021 class as French guard Quentin Debounge, which I'm not entirely sure if I'm pronouncing this correct. My sincerest apologies if I'm not. But again, Quentin commits to Tennessee. He is from Montpellier, France. How do you think I did on that?
Feast.
Montpellier.
From where?
Montpellier.
Close enough.
Close enough. Okay. I'll take it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't speak French. I don't know what the different. I don't
Montpellier, know where I'm from.
Yeah, I get that. So that is where he is at right now. Although recently he has been playing for Montverde Academy in Florida, so has been over in the States, has been playing within the United States. But you got a 6'6 guard who weighs about 190 pounds or so. And again, we told you about how what is not featured too much in some of these camps, some of these more prominent camps, because again, when you're an international player, you're going through some of your final bit of time in the recruiting process during a global pandemic, that can often present a little bit of a challenge. But we do know that Tennessee has a continued strong French connection, as Yves Pons, again, was from France. But this is a guy that I think you add to the roster, and again, it's going to be this will be the fourth player that you are bringing into the class. We'll tell you about each one in a minute. But
well, too, I mean, I think Mike Schwartz, who had a pretty heavy hand in getting Yves Pons here, also is involved in bringing Quentin in. So Schwartz. Doing some work.
Yeah, doing some international work. And, I mean, we saw how beneficial it was for Tennessee eventually. And you saw the resources, I think, that Tennessee took advantage of with having an international player. You would hope that they can do it again. I remember when Pons went and played with the French national team one offseason. Was that in between maybe 2018 and 2019? Or maybe 19 and 20, but came back just looking totally revitalized on offense, right? So you have some more of those resources when you can use them. And I like that Tennessee does, but this will be the fourth player that Tennessee adds. So right now, your arrivals onto the team for next year, 5-star Kennedy Chandler, 4-star Jemai Meshack, 3-star Quentin Debounge, and Auburn transfer Justin Powell.
And then you couple that with Victor Bailey Jr. and Triple J.
Vescovi.
Santiago.
Maybe Fulkerson. You know, and what I'll say about this, too, Quentin is, I think, the most unknown prospect to us as Tennessee fans, as scouts, just because, again, we stay very up to date with the media and how, you know, these guys are covered. And when you're not too covered, it's a little bit harder to get your name out. But I got to say, looking at each one of these guys, Chandler, Meshack, Powell, and I absolutely believe that Quentin, with the right skill set, maybe. These are all guys who can very much contribute to next year's Tennessee team if everything goes right. And, you know, you're taking away about 5 players, but 2 of them really didn't contribute too much. So as things are right now, what the goal is, obviously, in every single offseason is you replace more talent than you had depart. I think Tennessee is on that track right now. Now, granted, you're replacing 2 very high-caliber guys. Actually, 3. Between Pons, Springer, and Keon Johnson. But at the same time, man, you just get bodies in there, right? Increase the depth a little bit. Get guys who can play. Get guys who are athletic players who can play with each other. You're adding some good talent early on.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the thing with Barnes. I mean, in the recruiting aspect of things, finally starting to see that pay off, and you're starting to get more high-level recruits. Now we just got to put it together on the court.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm really excited to see what some of these guys can do, especially when just looking at some of the combinations, I think. And again, I think the main part of my optimism is more based on Chandler, Meshack, Powell. And again, I'll just be completely honest, because I don't think we know a whole heck of a lot about Quentin. Right, but certainly this is a guy with size and with a frame that will work in college basketball. When you're 6'6 and about 190 pounds, that can be used on the court. So I'm excited about that.
I really like him. Yeah. You know, I started seeing things about him about maybe a month ago.
So,
you know, he wasn't really well known, and then he got the opportunity to play on the post-grad prep team at Monteverde down in Florida. And immediately, like, scouts that were coming to see other players and at international showcases and or at Mount Verde were just blown away by him. They said that he has everything he needs to be a high Division I player in Tennessee. I mean, came in and offered him pretty early compared to some of the other schools that showed interest later on. But he can drive. He's good at finishing around the rim, which, again, that was what we were told about Yves Pons, too, and that obviously didn't pan out. But Quentin can shoot threes. He shot 43% from three.
Ah, I like that.
Last season. So, yeah, I think he's a really excellent get and an exciting prospect.
That's real nice. He averaged just about a hair less than 12 points a game and 5 rebounds a game when he was playing for France's LNB Pro A League. So certainly a guy who can ball on the court. And this is an exciting prospect.
When are we going to get a big man?
Yeah, that's a good question. Transfer portal's wide open. They are out there. It's just a matter of locking down the right one, I guess.
I wonder when we're going to get an official announcement either way from Pons and Fulkerson.
Yeah, Fulkerson's the one especially, I think, has probably a lot of people really waiting to see what could happen. That could be a huge piece to next year's team with a little bit of experience. And, you know, that guy's probably going to be playing a little bit of a vengeance, I can imagine.
What if Pons comes back? What if he just is so upset, doesn't want to leave that bad taste in his mouth, wants to wait another year and try to improve his stock more because this draft class is such a good one. Wants to play with a fellow Frenchman. Maybe, just maybe.
I don't know. Will we have enough spots?
I mean, there's always enough spots for Yves Pons.
That's a good point.
Would he have to reclassify?
No, I mean, you just got a free year of eligibility.
Yeah, everybody gets that free year because of COVID.
Man, that free year of eligibility, that definitely throws me off a little bit. All right, so Chance, looking at the G3 Help Me hotlines, what do you want to do? You want to take this call right now, or do you want to go through the break and get a little bit more time?
Phil, hold tight. We'll go through the break and get you on the other side.
All right, less than 3 minutes. We'll be back. Phil, we'll come straight over to you. Let's talk a little basketball and football right here on The Blitz. All right, here we go. Back here on The Blitz, 10:30, 8 a.m. We'll not waste any time. Heading over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Get a call from Phil. Good morning, Phil. Happy Thursday. How are you doing today, my friend?
Well, how are you, Fabulous?
Oh, not too much. Nice rainy day.
Yeah, nice hearing the Elton John there.
I know. I love that song. I am so mad because of COVID last year. I was supposed to go to an Elton John concert. Still pissed off about that.
You and Brandon both.
TBA. Still mad. Still mad about that.
I've seen that TBA twice and then Stokely once. He's a sight to behold normally.
Puts on a hell of a show.
You have seen Elton John here in Knoxville
times? He said Stokely twice.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Damn.
I'd kill for once.
Yeah.
Man, that's
Stokely
awesome.
Stokely used to have some good concerts. It's too bad they tore that thing down. They should have just rehabbed that thing and made it for the track program, but their stupidity over there.
Or just kept it as a venue. Like you say, like rehab it and then like make money for the university by having venues and having concerts.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. And the track and field don't have an indoor facility over
That's
there.
That's very true. They do not.
And you can see why we're not no good in indoor track anymore.
Very true.
But guys, you're just talking basketball this morning. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Tennessee has 12 program moves, if you will, between the 5 players you are seeing leave your program between the 4 guys that you got coming in right now, the 2 assistant coaches who have left, and then Rod Clark, who's made his way inside. 12 changes in 19 days, certainly getting the ball rolling quickly.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a few more changes. And there might be some more attrition to the roster. Who knows?
You think Corey Walker's going to leave?
Well, I wish he would stay. I think the guy can play, but I guess him and Barnes don't see eye to eye. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that just feels like another DJ Burns situation for whatever reason. And I know he had the toe injury, and they said that he just never got over it. But it's like you haven't heard anything about him, so it just seems – I'm with you. That kind of seems like something's going on behind the scenes where maybe they don't feel like he fits the roster anymore.
But Brandon was right. We need a couple big guys. And I'd be great if Fulkerson comes back, but you can't bank your whole season with Fulkerson because you saw last year what Fulkerson was last year.
Yeah, and I think especially when you look at the opportunity right now, right, with everybody who's available in the portal.
We need somebody who's got a little physicality and athleticism, and that's what they need. There's a lot of people out there. I hope they can come up with at least two post players. And then you got Brandon Hunley Hatfield out there and Thomas out there. Although both of those guys, if they reclassify, Thomas probably not quite ready, but Brandon Hunley Hatfield is ready. He's a grown man as a junior in high school. He could reclassify, and you know, he'll be okay. Just the mental part of the game probably his biggest challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but you've just got to add some kind of post depth. I mean, as it sits right now,
Euros.
Nkamwa. That's like not having no depth, you know.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. It'd be great if you get Hatfield, and then like you say, if you can maybe add some more if you reclassify Tamba. But I'm with you too. If he were to reclassify, I still don't think he would be ready. I think he still needs a solid year to prepare.
I'm surprised Big Josh ain't called in since the Braves swept the Nats yesterday, which is very enjoyable.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him. We haven't heard from him in a long time. I feel like I was hoping he would call in and.
Yeah, generally he
does. Give me my medicine today.
He does around baseball season.
It's about that time, isn't it?
It definitely is.
I still have questions with the Braves, though, after watching them. They got rid of Milanka, and I still don't understand that.
That was just the Braves' third win on the season, correct?
Second.
No, it's two.
It was their second? Okay.
Yeah.
They lost four straight.
And then they won two. The Nats having COVID was really tough for that series because – it didn't give – I mean, you didn't have any lineup protection for Juan Soto, and then they could walk him in a key situation like they did in the bottom of the sixth in a tied game. Just tough.
I know. It's just tough. I just got 100-something more games to go, you know.
Yeah.
At least they're going to play a real season this year instead of a, you know, abbreviated season. I think Snickers is one of the worst managers in baseball.
Really? I like him.
Frank's horrible.
And did he get an extension recently, or am I making that up?
It was a year, 2 years ago he got an extension.
Well, they kind of run the Braves kind of like Tennessee football was run at one time, and then you see what ended up happening. You know what? Look at it now, Tennessee football now.
Ooh. Ouch.
Hmm. You know, there's
a parallel, isn't there?
Yeah, and
a little bit.
I got to say, you know, there's been a lot of times, I feel like, where we've looked at a team or a franchise or something and have said, like,
that's a good comparison, though.
That is a parallel to Tennessee, or it's a comparison to Tennessee. I think it's just continued to be proven how hard it is to sustain that kind of success for so many years, you know, into relevant when, you know, sports are the one of the number one topics in all of the world. You know, like, obviously it's going to be hard to put together a 40-year stretch of good years. So you can have a 20 years where you're all right and 20 years where you look back on those and you say, man, I really wish we were just back there.
I think it's like the immediate drop-off, though. It's like you could compare it with the Vols. Brutal. It's, you know, the Braves owned the 90s. I mean, everybody knows about the Braves in the 90s. And of course, they should have won more World Series titles than just the one, but they owned the 90s, early 2000s. And then it's just that immediate drop-off.
Yeah.
And then trying to get back to where you were that, and get back to that feeling. Same thing with the Vols, like owning the 80s and 90s and the consistency, and maybe not even owning the 90s, like it's the consistency that you had always, you know, being one of the elite teams in the conference and then just that immediate drop-off and trying to see how did it happen and how do you get back?
Yeah, especially when, you know, for Tennessee fans' case, it's so much more prominent when you can point back to very specific singled out moments, right, that were such big factors in that drop off. You know,
well,
that,
even the Braves have not been terrible, even when they haven't done anything since the 90s. But Tennessee football, they can't even beat Vanderbilt, Kentucky. That's awful.
There's no stability. There's no consistency, and it's tough. What we realize in sports in today's day and age is if you are not one thing, then you are nothing, and that is consistent.
Yeah, look at the clowns we've had for football coaches and athletic directors. It just says it all right there, don't it?
Look how great of a basketball team we had this year, but their one big issue was that they were not consistent, and it ended in a first-round meltdown.
Well, it was a poorly constructed team, and we all said that we had no point guard beginning of the year, and we had no five-man, and you saw what happened. It's in the proof of the pudding. I mean, Rick Barnes is not a dumb guy. Surely he sees what they need to get for next year. I think they've already improved. I think the guard play will be a lot better next year than it is this year, but you've got to have somebody inside. You can't have nobody.
This conversation really took a dark turn, as I am now the opposite of optimistic about basketball and football within a 30-second span.
Oh, jeez.
Well, y'all hanging out with Davey Hudson? See
you. Oh, man. It's too easy to just snowball these things, right? It's like once you start pulling on the thread of one of the – one of the misfortunes of Tennessee athletics.
Well, don't pull the thread.
Once you start pulling on it.
Don't pull it.
Oh, my God. The yarn is everywhere. And you're like, I can't stop.
Don't pull it. It's that simple.
Oh, it's tempting.
Don't pull it.
It's tempting, Brandon.
Get a pair of scissors and cut it.
It's tempting. It's tempting.
No, you cut it, and then it doesn't unravel.
Oh, I'm tempted, my friend. I am tempted.
And that's your problem.
Final segment of the first hour on the show. Don't forget, coming up in about 15 minutes at 11 o'clock, we're talking with WWE superstar Bianca Belair 2 days before she competes at WrestleMania.
.10:50 final segment of hour number one on this Thursday here on the Blitz. The Masters gets started today.
You want an update on the early leaderboard?
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Hold on.
Give me some leaderboard music.
Like,
let's get some music
going. Set it up for you.
You got to do this thing right, Charlie.
All right, give us the leaderboard.
We only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys under par so far. In a solo first place, none other than Abraham Answer, 2 under through 4.
You know, not to interrupt your leaderboard, I feel like Abraham is just, like, who names the kid Abraham anymore?
Well, I
feel
like that's a name that's... $10 to pay out $800 on him when it being the first round leader, so that is a lovely start for him.
Okay.
Then, tied for second at 1 under, we have Henrik Stenson.
Henrik!
Siwoo Kim. Corey Connors. Kevin Kisner. Jason Day, and Hideki Matsuyama.
Very nice.
I got Bubba starting off.
Yeah. Bubba, Brooks Koepka.
Par through two.
And Webb Simpson are all even through the first couple holes. Cameron Champ and Matthew Wolf, Sergio Garcia, and Dustin Johnson are all 1 over. Victor Hovland's 2 over.
You know what's weird?
Fratelli's 4 over. Oh, my goodness.
This is probably the first Masters where I don't feel like I'm missing Tiger at it. Does that make sense? But I feel like anytime he doesn't play, I'm like, why am I watching this? But I feel like I'm really excited for
you. Ready
even,
for this
even,
one?
Even though he's not playing.
Well, I mean, this is like we got the Masters back in November, but like this is
the Masters.
Like this is the Masters.
The fans, the cheap beer, the pimento cheese sandwiches.
You just said we were
you
talking in the break.
You just said you hate pimento cheese.
We were talking
cheese.
In the break. I mean, you said you hate pimento
you
cheese.
You said it is awful.
It is awful.
You
I
actually
do hate it.
Really talked bad about pimento
yeah,
cheese.
Yeah, I know. I really dislike it strongly. I think it's a terrible, terrible food. But I really respect
knowing you, though,
the tradition of the Masters pimento cheese sandwich.
I know. If you went to the Masters, I guarantee you'd buy a pimento cheese sandwich. And you would eat it.
And you'd like it.
And you would like it. You would. Because you're a traditional guy. I'm at the Masters. I'm going to get a pimento cheese.
There's a decent
just
chance.
Just like if you go to the Kentucky Derby,
you're
going to
get a
mint julep.
You
well,
would.
I make some good mint juleps.
Oh, yeah, we've heard the mint julep stories that you've never brought us one.
All right. Well, thanks for the Masters update, Charlie. We'll have to check in an hour or two.
Pimento cheese.
I think you would if you were at the Masters.
Honestly, yeah, I think I probably would too. I don't know about liking it. I don't think I would like it because I strongly dislike pimento cheese, but strictly because of just how sacred the tradition of the pimento cheese sandwich is at the Masters and at Augusta, I would have no choice. I would have to consume one, and I'd just choke it down, wash it down, and then get something that tastes good to re-flavorize my mouth.
Yeah, you gotta, if you're there, you gotta get it.
What's my best bet for watching the Masters all day? Just the Masters app?
The Masters app until it goes it switches national over. At like 2?
Then it'll switch over to what, ESPN? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it goes national at 2,
Scott
right?
Van Pelt and the boys.
SVP.
I thought it goes...
SVP.
Is it not CBS?
No, that's not until the weekend.
Yeah, on the weekend it goes to CBS.
I thought specifically for the Masters they had all 4 days. Oh, okay. So it goes ESPN.
No, you got to show the soap operas.
Yeah.
All day on CBS and things like that.
But in the spirit of the Masters, talked yesterday. We mentioned that they would be revealing the cause of Tiger Woods' crash a few months ago, and they did yesterday afternoon. Tiger Woods was going approximately 84 to 87 miles per hour in a 45.
Whoa.
40 miles per hour over the speed limit. What was he doing?
And those hills in San Diego, I mean.
And they say that the where he crashed is a known for wrecks. But, if you're going 85 into 45, maybe, I mean, it's probably why.
Where did he have to be?
I don't know. Must have had to be somewhere in a hurry.
Yeah, very, very quickly. Man, well, I guess, you hope that at least it was just speed and it wasn't anything else, alcohol or drugs.
Well, I mean, I don't think so. I think they would have.
Yeah, they would have talked about that toxicology because they had to do a tox report immediately after. I was thinking about that today. I was like, I really don't necessarily miss Tiger in this Masters, and it's kind of odd to me.
Yeah, I mean, are we? I mean, he won it what 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
he won it in 2019.
That was kind of the redemption story. Are we now in a? I mean, because I think. excuse me. I think he's done.
After that wreck, he might be done for good.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's done. I feel like we're kind of now truly moving into a post Tiger Woods era in golf.
You might be right.
I like it. I like that we're moving past
Tiger. You don't really care for him, though, right?
I mean, I'm not a huge Tiger guy.
Did you watch the doc?
What he did for the sport. I have not seen it yet.
You should watch it.
But I don't know. I just really think that there's a lot of really good, really fun young golfers with great personalities, and there's a lot of great storylines, and now we can kind of start to move on from the old guard and Tiger Woods into some of this really new, exciting, fun age of golf. I'm excited for it.
Guys, speaking of things that are new and exciting and fun, 2 days from tonight will be the start of WrestleMania, and we will be talking to one of the most important people in WrestleMania coming up next on The Blitz. We're talking to the EST of WWE, Bianca Belair from Knoxville, Tennessee, one of our own. We're talking to her next on The Blitz. You're not going to want to miss it 2 days before she competes for the championship at WrestleMania, right here on The Blitz.